Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You have year-end goals. Constant Contact has what it takes to help you meet them faster. Sell more, raise more, and build real relationships with your audience with Constant Contact's digital marketing tools, all made to fast-track your success. Put the go in your 2024 goals with email, social, SMS, and customized marketing campaigns built for you in just a few clicks. Ready, set, go to ConstantContact.com and start your free trial today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good afternoon. Let's get rolling here for the pre-Thanksgiving roundtable. The studio is full. We don't have Jane today, so that means that all the other panelists have to step up. You have a lot more time to fill this afternoon. Donna Berenger, are you up to the challenge?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. How are you?
I am crazy, but good.
Sue Thomas, how are you?
I am well, thank
Ladies
you.
Ladies first. So
happy Friday.
I'll check in with you. Happy Friday to you. We have former State Senator Jeff Smith in the studio with us this afternoon. Jeff, how are you?
I'm well.
Yeah? You sure? You okay?
I
haven't seen you in a little while. We're going to talk you through it, everything that happened after the election. It's going to be fun. Sean Flower, the mayor of Eureka. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good
to
see you.
Do you have a crying room for me?
I don't. But you know what? Here, let me start this way, honestly, because you and I have, we've exchanged messages, I think, in the aftermath of the election. But just give me your, let me ask this. Why did Democrats, I'm being serious here, Rainford offered an analysis last week. I don't know that I'll agree with everything. But why, at this point, do you think you lost the election?
Well, I could run down.
Do me a favor. Just pull that mic up a little bit closer. Yeah. Sean, you too. Just make sure you're on those mics. Go ahead.
You know, I could probably run down a list of a dozen reasons why I think we lost and who deserves the quote-unquote blame. I mean, I think Joe Biden, I was on here in 2022 in December that year saying, hey, I think he should step aside.
There's no doubt.
He had a lot of accomplishments legislatively. Take the gold watch. He had insinuated when he ran the first time that he was going to be a bridge to the next generation of Democrats. I think if he would have done that and we'd have had a chance to have an open primary, I think we would have produced a nominee that didn't have all the ideological and cultural baggage that she brought to the race. You know, in 2019, she had said a lot of things, and you can't say things on video and then let a staffer disavow them on background and pretend that the American people should believe what your staffer tells a reporter on background and not what you're on tape saying. So whether it was her position on the border, her position of famously that with 100 plus million dollars of TV behind it on sex changes for transgender inmates funded by taxpayers, whether it was her position on defunding the police, you know, it was a number of things that constituted a lot of baggage that she ended up paying for. And I think that baggage combined with the baggage you're carrying being tethered to a pretty unpopular administration was too much to overcome.
So I think a lot of Democrats have come to terms with a lot of that. I've heard them being honest on CNN and elsewhere. But there are still people who want to blame white supremacy and all this other stuff that seem very disconnected. And look, they're getting lectured from the Bill Maher's and the other people who are saying some of what you're saying right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of a tough position to be in, because as people who are, you know, who comment and are part of public life like we are, there's always kind of like you feel a little bit good to be able to say, well, that's what I've been saying for years. But I mean, I hate that we lost the election, but I'm glad that some of the things that, you know, Jane has said and I've said for a couple of years about like, hey, we got to shed some of the uber woke stuff.
Some but you guys, come on, Donna, you come on. You guys, most of the people, because I have sane Democrats on here, right? But you guys have been consistent. When I've talked about this the last couple of weeks, I've credited that to you. But how then, and this is where I blame the media. Donna, you can jump in here as well, because the lens through which a lot of these voters see this, I think there's a fair amount of people. I had a guest on yesterday that maybe just watched, you know, regular news, legacy media, and they were rather surprised that the results were the way that they were, because they weren't dialed into some of these issues that were connecting with the American people.
Well, when I was, so I was talking to people while they're standing in line to vote. And I guess I was more surprised by people saying that the Democrats don't know who we are anymore. And that's why I was getting nervous. And so when I look at how we bring our whole self together as Democrats, we're really fractured. And so you can't get everything you want out of one person. And so our party has to decide what is the most important thing. And the most important thing, clearly, was the economy, because that's why people I know voted for Trump.
So, Sean, now we can move to the cabinet appointments and everything that's happening right now. And Matt Gaetz is out. I was not a fan of that particular appointment. And, you know, one of the reasons is because if the Democrats would put someone up like that, I'd certainly throw the red flag. But it's an interesting time because you have a guy who clearly, I think, has character issues, who clearly has things that conservative voters would be repelled by, right? Mm-hmm. Who gets a lot of support because he's with Trump. Now, I think a good thing happened here, and I don't know if there was something going on in the background that we missed. Ms. Bondi seems to be a better choice at this point. Matt Gaetz is out, but your thoughts on everything that's happened in the last couple of days?
I would say overall, the appointments, I think, are fascinating to watch because it's such a different group of people that are coming in. So I think what's interesting as far as controversial or everybody saying, well, Trump makes, you know, impetuous decisions or whatever, a lot of, I would say the huge majority of the people he's appointing, people are like, well, that's interesting, or that's a good pick, or that's different, or that reflects the vote. Gaetz definitely stood out as not a good choice, but I personally, there has to be something else. I mean, for Gaetz to resign his seat in the House immediately upon accepting that and leaving so he doesn't have a backup plan when it's such a dicey deal, the report doesn't come out. There's something.
Yeah, Jeff, do you have any theories there?
There has to be something else other than child sex trafficking?
No, I don't think that's what he's saying.
I'm just saying the nomination process.
Why would the nomination have even taken place?
Like, why did Trump do that? Like, why did Trump nominate him in the first place?
Yes, that's part of my question.
I think a couple things. So let me, and you might think some of this analysis is nuts, but I don't think
it's you, Jeff.
I don't think Trump is looking for a competent attorney general. I think Trump is looking, and you see it if you look at other countries, people that have some of the same instincts, some of the people that Trump has talked openly about admiring during his presidency and subsequently, dictators in other countries.
You're going to go down the Nazi lane here. Here we go.
They don't want competent people. Just hold on. Just listen.
Hang on.
There are an innumerable number of competent, well-regarded attorneys.
Pam Bondi's
career,
Pam Bondi.
Right. But he didn't go in that direction.
I know.
He wanted someone who would answer only to him, who would be loyal only to him, who is basically a buffoon and never has an opportunity to be a well-regarded person in the broader legal community, and so would be totally reliant on Trump's patronage.
Did you ever think, like I was thinking, that this was a test to see how far can we go?
Sure, absolutely.
And that way, that's a measurement. So will the next people he's going to pick will not fall within that category? So he knows.
I've heard that theory. I mean, I don't know. The reason I asked the question is because they had to know that this one was going to be trouble, and whether it was J.D. Vance that went up there on Thursday or Matt Gaetz himself who got the message from senators, it wasn't going to.
National reporters, a couple have told me who were kind of following the situation closely, said, look, there was a list of four or five people, none of which were Matt Gaetz, that they were looking at throughout the last few months and the couple weeks leading up to it. And literally, Matt Gaetz gets on a plane and makes the case to him on a plane, I am going to go to DOJ if you let me do this, and I will get rid of everybody that came after you and came after me. And Trump loved the idea that within 6 hours, he was the appointee for attorney general.
But he also seemingly convinced Trump and the team, look, what I've been going through is the same thing. It's been targeted. So this is why I want to help you, because I've experienced the same thing. Mm-hmm. That was part of his sell.
That was his pitch.
Right.
But I think the interesting part of this whole conversation, though, it takes to me, the one difference, you guys are describing why he did or didn't lose the election. And the one danger I would tell you guys is from just the excitement level about a pick or not early on is, in my opinion, you didn't lose the election because of a person. You lost it because of policy. And what I see happen, and the biggest danger for you guys right now is every time Trump does something or we do this or there's a pick that, you know, even Gates or somebody, which a lot of people are there, when you start jumping on Trump, if it always goes back to Trump's crazy, you guys are going to have a long 4 years because he ran a very good campaign. He's been much more organized. Most of the releases are pretty good. And there are plenty. I mean, I could go through and say the transgender guy that got stole all the luggage from the airports that got arrested that was in charge of national nuclear secrets. I mean, you got that gal guy got run around. It's the head of the health department. There were plenty of oddball picks that go around these different administrations that we could do that type of stuff.
At much lower sub-cabinet levels than those people.
How about Mayor Pete? What was Mayor Pete's qualification? I mean, he was the mayor of South Bend and he was gay. That was his qualification.
Right, so we have every announcement over the last year has been
I'm the most gifted communicator in the Democratic Party right now nationally. Is there anybody else that
which
can
tells
go
you why
Fox?
You're sitting where you're at?
Yeah, you know what? She was not a good communicator as a presidential candidate.
But you can't communicate garbage when you guys have no answer for the economy. You have and all of the policies.
No answer to the economy. We had the unemployment was at 4%. We had great GDP growth. Look,
we just had this argument.
You guys just got creamed. Look, we did not have. For better or for worse, if you look at it objectively, we learned a lesson, which is that GDP growth, that doesn't really communicate much to voters. The stock market being at record highs doesn't communicate much to voters. Only a small number of voters feel the fact that they got a job. And when people feel like they got a job, they don't feel like, thank you, Mr. President, because I got a job. They feel like I got a job because I did something good and I deserved it. But everybody feels higher prices. Inflation is very painful to a huge swath of people. And we learned that lesson.
Well, everyone buys food and food prices were high. And that's what upset people.
But what lesson did you learn from it? Like, what did you learn to not cause it again or that it's a real issue?
So what do you think we'll do more to cause it? Maybe deporting millions of people who help pick our crops?
I love that
I think it's great. So everyone that's in California picking crops.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry the guys that pick your food aren't going to be able to get across the border.
That's not what we're talking about, Sean.
It's what you're saying.
What you said was inflation. What you said was inflation.
Which is true.
So talk me through the economics of how raising wages, which is what you're going to need to do for people, if you deport 10 million people who are picking crops,
if you're asking
what
how,
are you going to do? Tell me the economics. I'm asking you.
The economics are if you lower the...
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Price energy across the board and stop the crazy attacks on every energy company. You lower the prices of products across the board without harming anybody. You could also increase the stabilization of foreign countries by shipping them all these different energy producing products. And two, you get your regulation off. You do a lot of the government. If you stop having the government spend so much money, which they are, whether you like it or not, that Elon Vivek is an actual attempt to do that. And you cut regulation, you lower the cost of government, you open up XL pipeline, and you stop making DEI your number one priority, and you start concentrating on what benefits people, I think you'll see happier people. And if it doesn't work, he'll pay the price.
Who was picking the crops before 2020, by the way, just out of curiosity?
Do you know what year we had the highest domestic energy production in the history of America?
Last year.
I'm sure it was last year.
Yeah, after theories about it.
Well, that's
a fact, Sue.
Well, I'm not denying that because we have made great strides
with domestic energy production.
You know where fracking has played a big role.
And that after 3 years of Joe Biden.
And then you ran somebody who wanted to ban fracking.
Yeah.
And nobody actually says we don't agree with the policy. Mostly what you say is she shouldn't have said the policy out loud.
No, I think what Donna and I are saying, what we said up front, is that she should have renounced the position she took in 2019 more forcefully than she did.
Yep.
Okay. Well, maybe, but you know, the flip-flops and the back and forth, that was clearly challenging for her.
It hurt her, absolutely.
And immigration is a tough one, too, especially when you're sitting there with Lake and Riley's trial just on the TV, which is a tough one to sit there and watch. But
do you think, serious question here, do you think you guys underestimated the issue of the border in particular? Because I think that was a pretty big factor.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, but how can you do that? How did you not realize until the summer that letting millions of people stream across the border was going to be politically you know, troubling. I'm confused by that.
And when did you get to the point like it's okay to cross the border to what we'll do is we'll now put you up in hotels and cities with debit cards, give you phones, and then if you want to leave New York and you'd like to go to Athens, we'll fly you there where you can then kill a gal in a park.
Yeah, I mean, obviously no one said that. But
these are valid questions. That actually happened.
And I think Obama showed how a Democratic administration needs to deal with the border, which was there were a higher level of deportations under Obama than there had ever been in the history of the country. Okay. Biden went in a different direction. By the time he got serious about doing something about it, it was too late. You know, Trump, as Kamala famously tried to say, killed the deal, the bipartisan deal, but it was too late. Democrats didn't have credibility on the issue by the time we came around to taking it.
Hang in there, Donna Behringer, Jeff Smith, Sean Flower, all on the roundtable panel. We have two more segments to go on a Friday afternoon.
Get more at 971talk.com.